Hey, it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, and in the East Coast, and 8 p.m. in the Middle East. Today is September 8, 2014, and this is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio with The Impossible Truth. Today we're talking about the shifting in the situation. You know, we all started to feel a little insecure and unsure what's going to happen and where we're going to go with all this mess in the war that started not long ago in July this year in the Middle East with Gaza coming out all rage against Israel. And we realized that we had to change the plan. And the world realized that there is a danger elsewhere. And today, for this, to talk about the situation and how we see it from all different perspectives, I invited Ellen Ambertson, a good friend of mine, that she and I talk a lot about the situation, and I wanted to invite her to the show. Hello, Helen. Welcome to my show.
Hi, Orly. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, it's always a pleasure with you because we can talk forever about the situation. And you know that from a different perspective, of course, you're in New York City, a city that brings together so many people, and the amalgamation of the culture is incredible. But, you know, now, this day that security is the foremost important thing in the world, I wonder how people feel in New York City. Are you more self-conscious about the situation? Are you, you know, are you aware that, you know, there are so many different people and you're not... Is things changes in the big cities? Because it shouldn't, because it's all about business. But I feel like, you know, I have to ask you that.
I think New Yorkers continue to be insulated. Americans haven't fought a war on their own turf in a really long time, actually, since we became a nation over 200 years ago.
So, well, 9/11 wasn't for nothing, you know, a little war inside New York City, which we all suffer because of that. And, of course, it's not a whole full-fledged war, but it was an incredible attack.
I think we're coming up to the anniversary this year,
right,
again, very shortly, in a few days. And I think Americans, especially New Yorkers, we're aware of it. There are changes probably in everybody's life. I know that, for example, since 9/11, I don't turn the music on in my car when I first get in. I have to have the news on first. You know, there's subtle changes that I think Americans have developed. We no longer complain about the security at the airport. And in fact, you know, with everything we've seen in the last few weeks, we're even, you know, more concerned with security at the airport. So people are quieter about that.
Yes, right, and they should, because, you know, it's all about safety, and when you travel, it's global, because people are coming and going, and you don't know where they're coming and what their plan is. You know, they're really, really bold. They don't, you know, they take airplane and, you know, explode on people, so no wonder about that. But you're saying you're listening to the news, right? It's something that, you know, in Israel, it's every day. We have, every hour, we have a little news for people around the world that turn the music on and forget about the world, and they can travel and they can go from one place to another. In Israel, you don't have that luxury. You have to listen to the news no matter channel you choose. You know, it's known fact. And on that news, you know, if Israel is okay or not.
Right. Look, we have...
You heard it before.
Yeah, but right now, for example, there was an article just the other day that ISIS has operatives in Mexico, and they're going to infiltrate from our Mexican borders. We have tunnels there. We have all kinds of... They're having all kinds of problems. So I don't think that America has truly grasped what that means and will mean, it's sort of a kind of a crazy thing, because we have a lot of anti-Semitism going on, yet Israel is for a lot of us, it's still the canary in the mine. You know, Hamas has just made sure that we know that Hamas and ISIS are one and the same. Qatar has...
Well, they're a different fraction of the same movement. Yes, you're absolutely right.
The Qatar has spent an enormous amount of money in terms of purchasing American ideology, almost. They own CNN, they own a whole bunch of other media outlets, and it just came out this week that they also own things like the Booking Institute, which is probably the one of the most important politically connected think tanks. They're the people that you know give birth to the Martin Indykes of the world.
But you know, most of them are Jewish. I have so many people that work there that they are Jewish friends. So it's really incredible that at the end of the day, we have the Jewish mind sitting there and bought by Qatar that is actually fighting. This is a big, big no that we need to settle. But I know that Qatar is playing differently, because in the last few years we had actually very high hope about the relationship with Israel. We had some foreign minister that spoke very softly and were talking about some relationship with Israel. So all of a sudden it changes, and that's what happens. You know, people that you count on, country that you expect them to behave, all of a sudden they turn and they have a different way. Like Turkey. Turkey was, doing I don't know how many billions a year commerce with the world, and all of a sudden they put themselves in a position against Israel, of course. But once you touch Israel, you touch the American interest, because American interest in the region is so very much embedded in Israel, that people think that, you know, it's separate thing, but I don't believe so. I think that American interests is very important in Israel, and Israel is doing her best to represent and become the Western voice and the true democracy in the region. Not that she succeeds all the time, but you know, it's pretty good in compared to the rest of it. But let's go on and think about what's going on. You know, we just finished one round with Hamas, and everybody is saying, you know, now what's the plan? And the plan, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu plans, always can change according to the situation. And the left wings are complaining that he doesn't have a vision for the Palestinian-Israeli peace accord. But he's right, because once you got a new fight on the horizon with people that turn to be savage, that they are, you know, so cruel, they're killing people, you know, for the world to see, and they're recruiting children and recruiting youngsters again and again. And, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu should take the time to think it over and reconsider again and not jump, because the Palestinians, once you don't know which side they are taking, there is nobody that you can talk to and feel secure and also give back or make an accord that you can compare it, you know, to a peace accord and make and be sure that you live in peace. That's something that, you know, people were complaining. They said, what he's doing? But I feel that he's doing the right thing at the right moment, you know, taking the time, considering right now America is going to a new stage. America took on, you know, the fight. She came and she's collecting other countries to come together and make an alliance that can win this war. And I know that they're going to win it. I know because America once did it with Al-Qaeda, and it took some years. But now with alliances, it can be faster. And remember, if we don't give any safe haven to the terrorists, we might have, a clan.
I think last week was very telling in that President Obama just came out and said we have no strategy. I think Americans, it was almost like a unanimous, they got so scared to hear that the president doesn't have a strategy. And I don't think most Americans feel like Al-Qaeda was defeated either. I think we see remnants of it everywhere, and there was a big concern because here we had a lot of Americans dying in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then people are feeling here that it may have been for naught. They died in vain because now look, we pulled out, we said, oh, okay, and we're being fought on the ground with our own weapons because we left them there for the locals, allegedly,
to defend themselves. Yes, of course. But you don't have to feel bad because American weapons are everywhere. Once you start a war someplace and they're shipping it and they're selling it, don't feel bad. Sometimes the Israelis say, hey, they found a Israeli weapon in Syria or some other part. It's normal. This is something that people that are criminal minds do. They use it and they sell it and they bargain with it. It's normal. We don't have to be worried. We just have to know that how to handle them. Once they have a stronger weapon, we have to come up with a better plan. And a strategy for America is not a new thing. Strategy is something in the book already. When the president says he doesn't have a plan, it means he didn't choose one. The Americans are really, really strong minded, and they know exactly where they're going and what to do. And we have also, already people that are talking how they're going to finish them. They're going to go after them. You're going to go after them and just make sure that they eliminate them. And it's something that they did before, and they're going to do it again. You see, the world today needs to know that there is no way that they're going to take it over and make it an Arab Muslim caliphate. There is no things like the world is going to be under a regime that, that is obscure, bad, mean, and will let it be. They have the idea. We just have to make sure they forget about it. And the sooner we do it, the faster we do it, the better we are. And we have to start with the youngsters. They're recruiting so many young people there, and that's where we have to focus, as far as I'm concerned. Because I was thinking, how you really, really can stop those people from fighting us. And I said, who are fighting for them? Those youngsters without a job, those desperate souls that needed some inspiration or some motivation to get up and show rage to the world because they're not doing well. So we need to, tell me.
I'm just concerned because I don't believe, in fact, that that's true. We have British women that I just read about this morning, a battalion of 60 women that have gone to fight for ISIS. We have Brits leaving, so many so, to go fight for ISIS, so that they're really worried, and they should have been worried a long time ago. Anybody that's been through London and compare 10 years ago to now will be very frightened. You have Sharia-compliant neighborhoods. Who ever heard of such a thing? Yes, in Jerusalem you have also very from neighborhoods, very religious neighborhoods, where they don't allow cars to come through on Shabbat. But this is crazy, where people are pulled off the streets because they're improperly dressed and beaten and all kinds of crazy things going on. So it's
This is the mentality, okay? Well, once we start realizing that what we're fighting, we can't fight it. You know, we have to come to terms with the fact that freedom of religion is a respectful thing. But if it's not respectful for other religion, it means that it's not religion per se. Because God is not something that, you know, you can enforce on other. You need to understand that our religion, especially the Judaism, have so many fractions, and we like to fight and we like to talk about this, but we know the limitation of it. We know that at the end of the day, everybody has to be respectful to each other, no matter what.
But that's not happening in Muslim communities all over the world. All over the world, they are lashing out, and it's not because they're unemployed. It's not because they're hungry. It's because I personally have a hard time understanding that there is no moderate Islam. There's no such thing, and so we have to look at people perhaps individually, but you have when you have, you know, people all over the world now ganging up against the Jews, and you know the way they talk about it, it's first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. But
hold that thought, and we're going to go to a break, Ellen. Hold that thought. We're going to go to a break for a minute, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the fact that how it influenced Judaism and Christianity, and what does it do to the rest of us. All right, let's go to a break now. And we are back. And Ellen, you know, we just heard a piece about the EU. And, you know, you have in New York one of the biggest organizations that is questionable, the United Nations. And the EU is another organization that we're not sure why they created it, only to suck the economy off each other until Germany is back on top. For anybody who thought that the EU is going to be big, I always said, you know, the European coin is going to become 50 cents of the dollar, because there is no way that the economy got slashed so bad and the euro is still strong. The dollar will pick up eventually. And going back to what we said before about the influence that they have, you see, the countries are fighting now on the economical level. They all fight for economical well-being, and the EU does it in globally and pushing Russia too. And what we need to do is to think it, you know, if what's going to be in the next year, it's going to determine where we're going in the next 50 years. Because this year, the year that, you know, that we soon, the Jewish people will start a new year, it's this, and sure enough, in December, you know, we're going to conclude 2014. This is a turn of a page in history. This is a page where, you know, the Muslims' radical Islam revealed itself to the world and showed what the plan was. And the plan was really to go slowly, make sure that everybody accept them, and then, sure enough, they are going out of the way to show how cruel and what their plan was. And you mentioned it before, you know, London is a scary place to go to, and it's because there are so many Muslims around, and we saw, you know, there is a lot of programs talking about it. But the idea is that we cannot give in. We cannot give in, and we need to be united. At this point of time, you know, liberal, and there are Muslims in the world that are well knowledgeable and educated, and they know what's right from wrong, like many that we met before. But also, there is also new ideas that the Saudis today decided to distance themselves. We need to put more pressure on the Arab nation, on the countries that host them, to start squeeze on them. And then we can start seeing a different idea how we can control them. It's not, no, we don't want to control them. How we put them in check. We are going to have a normal world, a normal operating world with free economy for everybody. It's the internet decided for us. It's not us that we decided to go global. It happens. It's exploration everywhere. We just have to stay focused, unite. And the Jewish people, you know, that they suffer a lot of anti-Semitism over the year. Right now, what they're doing to the Christian, it's really overwhelming, you know, because the Christian are all more mixed with the Muslim than the Jews, and they suffer a lot. So whatever they did to us, whatever they're doing to them, it ain't right, and we're not going to take it anymore.
I hope that you're right. I think that there is a huge stumbling block that we've called political correctness very recently, and that Americans are more prone to believe what they hear instead of look at things more closely. They want an easy way. Americans are very used to having it easy. It's unfortunate. Well, I mean, we really need to take a look underneath, because, you know, if the images, for example, the images that were shown were not, you know, of Hamas beheading the Christians and the collaborators, we don't see those things, so we don't hear about them, so they don't really exist for us.
But something we need to do, we have to stop glorifying stuff that empower them. Like you mentioned the opera that glorified the guy from Achille Lauro. It's ridiculous.
The Met has they actually agreed not to put it on screens across the United States, but they're calling it the death of Klinghoffer instead of the murder of Klinghoffer. And this was when the Achille Lauro was taken in 85 by PLO terrorists. And they killed Mr. Klinghoffer. He was wheelchair-bound, celebrating his anniversary on a cruise with his wife and some friends, and threw him and his wheelchair overboard. Eventually, those hijackers, or whatever you want to call those terrorists, were captured, but now we have...
And you know, we had Bacharvel.
Bacharvel
was on the show, and he was talking about it, that he was in the White House in that time, and that's an accomplishment just to represent to us that we can win. You see, the idea is to think and to know that we're going to win this one, and we're not going to let it be. And the Achille Lauro is a good sample of terror in the middle of the ocean, and we want it. And the world wants it. Every time liberty is winning, the world is winning, because so that's where we are. So, you know, having a movie on that, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's worse than a movie. You know, when cultural arts, the high arts of a country, start demonizing Jews, and in the case of the Klinghoffer opera, preferring murderers, hijackers over their victims, the consequences are both undeniable and enormous. And we only saw it in Nazi Germany. Why are we seeing it again today? You know, we can't, as much as we need to give people the space to speak their mind, because we have freedom, you have more freedom, I think, of the press in Israel than even we have here. But as long as we give space to, without showing our disgust and our disdain and the abhorrence that we should hold for such people and such actions, if we don't do that, then we're putting ourselves at risk every minute. So this is...
But I have to tell you that we have more freedom in Israel than America. It's because of chutzpah. It's not because it's allowed. You know, we are really pushing all buttons as far as that's concerned. America, they're more polite. Think about what can be done. We need to give Hollywood a little call of conscience. You know, you're saying liberal and the artistic, the high end, where we supposed to look up and enjoy and watch for a better tomorrow. In the last decade, we watched the worst tomorrow. They created everything in their mind or their script mind of how to destroy the world. They taught the children how destruction is in play. And there is a guy that I want to interview that invented those games also. I want to ask why all those games are war games instead of building a country or creating a new medicine for the flu that can help. Like, I heard today that there are so many sick kids in America, and I want to pray with you all that all the kids that have this flu that is spreading all over America to be well, to get well soon, and may it to pass away fast, because we love America, and something we don't like is sick children. So I really hope for that. And I want to thank you, Ellen, for coming to the show today. You're wonderful as usual. I know that we are all over the place. It's scattered, and nothing we can do about it. The events are crazy, and I know that it's not easy to put it and take it all, but I do thank you for your time, and I love talking to you as always, and we always come with a new idea. Trust me, at the end of the day, we're going to win this one, too. God bless
I hope if you're in and around the New York area on the 22nd that you'll join us in protesting this opera and this kind of glorification of evil. So that
22nd of September, you have a demonstration against the opera, and where is it going to take place?
Lincoln Center in front of the Met in New York City.
At what time, do you know?
5 p.m.,
22 of September. Guys, we are going to be there. I'm not going to be there, but I'm going to pray for you. And we need to get, to put in check all those people that putting evil on top of our list instead of putting goodness and future and hope and dream. Clean the mind of the children. It's enough with us arms. Thank you so much, Ellen. God bless you. Shana Tova. Happy, happy New Year. And I hope that September 11 this year will be quiet, relaxed, and we'll remember all those lost, because it hurts. It hurts still these days. And I stand with you as always. Okay, God bless you.
Thank you. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. Let's go to a break. And we are back, with former President Reagan, the wonderful president that brought a lot of inspiration and a Republican voice to the White House. It was an incredible time to be under his regime, we should call him. It was a wonderful time when he was president. And I hope that the inspiration that we all have for America to flourish, to prosper again, will come soon. And I wanted to invite a very good friend of mine, Cynthia Bench, that's been working hard, so hard, to bring hope, prayer, and a lot of love to the people, and especially politicians. Cynthia Bench, welcome to my show.
Shalom, Barley. Thank you for inviting me to be on.
Oh, I'm so happy to be. We didn't talk for so long, and I know that you work so hard. You know, I can imagine you there in South Carolina every day working and pushing to make America better, and I salute you for that, because there are not many women like you that I saw in the South that work so hard. You put your heart and your love and the love of God to the world, and it shows. And I hope that America will come back. And you know, as President Reagan says, you know, our inspiration, our world inspiration, are so good and so great, and we need to remember that because this is a time of challenge. How are you doing, Cynthia?
I'm doing wonderful. And Orly, like you, you and I both strongly believe in the power of one. One person leads and many will follow. But it's courage and a willingness to suffer whatever consequences that are so missing in the world today. And yet sometimes just one or two voices speaking truth can just make other people stand up and fight for the next generation. And without Israel, without America standing with Israel, America will not stand. It is those two nations will only go into prosperity and survive as they are united. They will, neither one will survive without the other.
Oh, that's so humongous for you to say that, because Israel is so tiny, but still, you know, she's holding the beacon of freedom in the middle of this darkness that is getting all the Middle East. And trust me, Cynthia, being here, it's incredible, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. It's really wild. We just passed a war, and this war was as a surprise, of course, like they do. But we weren't so surprised, because American geniuses and Israeli geniuses worked together, a plan to defend Israel with the Iron Dome. So they created this plan too. And I think that it's Reagan's idea to how to shelter, the world or America in that point. And they took it and they made up a very, very good plan. And it protected Israel. They sent 2,500 missiles over Israel, and all is good. We had a soldier on the ground in Gaza that got killed, but thank God, all the rest came back. But now we have America going back to war, and I know that you feel that you feel very strongly about it, like I am. Because we need to pray, Cynthia. We need to pray for this world to start unleashing the love and caring for the rest of it. And everyone has to pick up, like two people talking today, and you say, let's create a new movement. And I don't know what's going on in South Carolina. I left you there talking about International Film Festival, because I hope to bring some light and hope to the movie industry, I guess.
That's a great concept. Interesting. Early, I just found out our pastor and several people from our church happened to be in Israel at this time. And again, to form relationships and bonds and to understand one another and to begin, once you meet people and get into their lives and understand their families and their backgrounds, then you can't forget. But, so many people are so distant from politics, and this war has been going on since the creation of man. This is a war of good and evil. It's not something you can be nice and loving and say, this is just going to, we'll embrace them and give them seven malls and they will become less violent. It is not. It is written that is who these people are, and that is why this caliphate needs to be so understood as the greatest danger to the civilized world that has ever happened. Never before has Islam risen worldwide, globally. And Americans are not paying attention. They don't understand. They don't even understand Israel and their relationship to us for our safety, for our survival. People love to say, well, I don't do politics. Well, yes, you do politics. Every time you go to the post office, every time you put your child in school, every time you do anything, you're doing politics because you're supporting that agency. And not choosing your leaders and understanding that's providing for the future. We have 15 grandchildren, and that's what drives me, because this world is nothing like the world I grew up in. And it breaks my heart to think they will never know the safety and the goodness of neighbors and the world in which we used to live. The age of technology has really been one of the most, devastating effects on our youth, because it's destroyed relationships with families. I was watching a lady at the pool the other day with a little girl. She was on the cell phone. For an hour and a half, that child listened to her mother babble on the cell phone, saying nothing that was utterly important to anybody. And that child did not get one moment of attention to her from her mother because her mother was on the cell phone. We've got to wake up to what we're doing, letting electronics babysit, not talking to our children. We have an opportunity now to get real, because we can all get to the polls in November in America. We need to get engaged in politics. We need to care about who our leaders are, and we need to make sure that our polls are honest, our elections are honest, which people don't even understand how honest they are. But I know in Israel, I praise God for Netanyahu, that you have a leader that understands that there is a time when right and might is right, and he has no choice. Why don't the neighboring countries of Jordan and Egypt and all these other areas help the Palestinians? Why don't they want them there? Well, everybody in Israel knows the answer to that question. And people here, we empathize with ignorance. And you don't empathize with your enemies who come to destroy you and your way of life. You have to destroy them. And America doesn't even begin to understand the history nor the religion that they're fighting, that y'all are fighting. But God bless you for trying to stand up for what is right, and like I say, being a voice in the wilderness that maybe one more.
I believe in that. Cynthia, I believe as long as there are people like you and Ellen, who just spoke, that work so hard, we women, behind the scene that work so hard, nobody know us, nobody heard about us. You're a council woman. You're very well known in Beaufort County. And, of course, my name is known some places. But the idea is to start talking on a global scale, to unite the voices, united together. The world needs to know that we want to have a peaceful world. We want Hollywood to stop selling crime as a movie. We want some people who will pay attention to what toys or what games they're selling to the kids. And education is not just talking. It's not a word. It's a way of living. And people are becoming so uneducated. Israel is famous for being genius in so many things and Dada. But right. But we have to have more people studying math right now, because there are not enough engineers for the next generation all over the place, in America, in America too. Because what happened, the people that created the book got so detached from the student that the student don't learn. If you don't connect with the people, the pupil, you cannot teach them anything. And as you say, the cell phone, all this distraction, and women doing multitasking all the time. It's like the superwoman of the world. Well, what is it? This feminism wasn't that idea, and I said it before. Right. We wanted to be free and equal to participate, but it doesn't mean that we're going to do all the work. And, especially in the South, you guys are superwomen there.
Well, yeah, that is one of the fallacies. It's just pure evil when you degrade motherhood and degrade being a wife. I heard a gentleman say the other day his stepdaughter had quit work, and she was just staying home with her two children doing nothing. I almost fell out of
Yeah, doing head. Nothing.
I thought, yeah, doing nothing. That woman is preparing two people that God gave her, to be contributors to our culture, to our society, to decency, that they'll be educated as to laws and rights and all, and they'll fight for them, as opposed to, God bless the poor, precious woman that our nation has made materialism God, and that they have to work to have everything the day that they get married that their parents took 50 and 60 years to acquire. So we have a generation of children without parents. I mean, they, you know, we don't call them orphans, but they,
right,
in every respect, have no parents paying attention to them. And so, therefore, they plan to, we will give us your children, and they will look like you, but they will think like us. And that's why they removed God from the public schools. These children have no basis for anything, for right, wrong, absolute principles, consequences, or anything. They simply are trying to learn from, again, someone who has...
And they don't teach the Bible, Cynthia.
No.
Cynthia.
No.
The
We're
book,
not a nation
a whole
under God.
Book, the good right. book, you know, the most right. famous book, like, you know, if you're saying bestseller, this is the bestseller of the world. If you want to teach somebody
exactly.
about, you know, bestseller, it's the Bible, and nobody's teaching it. And I know that
That's
there
right.
is a problem with the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, many Jewish people say, what are we going to do? It's not about that. It's about giving some essence that whatever mistake people do or did in the past, doesn't mean you have to repeat them. Those are lessons in history that we need to learn.
The laws of all of our nations are based on the Ten Commandments that God gave us. So that is
right.
our unifying document that we all, if we all could learn that the Ten Commandments, our government, and our police, our everything that we have, again, in the civilized society, is based on the Ten Commandments from God. So that alone should be something that parents could at least try to memorize and teach their children, and that God is the source of everything, and God is the end-all of everything, and God will not bless those who tell him to get out of their nation, as the United States of America has done. So
we still have God in America. It's on the dollar, so we didn't,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. No, the people didn't, but the government did. And the schools did. But, you know, what people need to understand is we have every right to return to those values and those principles, and to find treasonous, those people who don't support our Constitution and our Founding Fathers' beliefs. And the people that degrade our system should not be in our system, much less in leadership in our system. So, you know, we have our work cut out for us. God bless the women that are homeschooling and charter schools. These are...
Cynthia, we just have to use the proof of where they got us. You know, if
exactly.
it works so well, why we are here? Why
right.
we are
well,
in
look
this
at
condition?
History. Right.
Exactly.
Look at history. And that is why children... And most people don't even know history. Adults. Forget children. The adults don't even know the history of what our president is promoting. You know, the Ukraine is a perfect example of what President Obama's would be the end result of what he wants to do with health care, disarming people, taking control of the media, and taking control of health care and education. The end result has been proven over and over in China, in Russia, in, you know, Ukraine. It's We don't have to learn that, you know, just look at history, but Americans don't, and therefore, here we go down the same slippery slope again.
Oh, but you know what? I think that the Americans are smarter than that. This time, we're going to pull it off, everybody. And,
yeah.
you know, for America's sake, and every time I speak like American, and I'm Israeli-American, and I told everybody, I don't know where Americans start with me, Israeli finish, because I'm always, you know, American spirit is embedded in me because I understand
right.
the opportunity. And you and I know that no place, like, in the world, there is opportunity like America. America
no.
gave... it gives everybody a chance in a life, something, you know, a chance in education, chance in sport. craftsmanship. In trade, you can go and get a loan for small businesses. You can have a life. You can have a house. They give you all the chances in the world. And you know what? I salute America for that, because whatever I had a chance in America, I would not have any other place in the world. So I think that we need to give credit where it's credit due, but we have to say, pay attention. Right now we are in a place where we were the policemen of the world. We took on Iraq, and we spent 10 years of boots on the ground and government money, and a lot of people died.
But unfortunately, Orly, we did not fight that war right. As much as I supported President Bush, the military, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is we'd never fought that war correctly. That war should have been so powerful, so devastating that our enemies would have said, "Don't mess with America." And instead, we left them feeling like we were weak. Not a threat, and they simply sat back, waited, and now they're using our own weapons and our own tanks and trucks and everything else against us.
We wanted to give them a chance to create their own nation. And the truth of the matter, after 10 years, it was time to call it quits. And we had to pull back to see what's going on, and sure enough, they crash into each other, and now they're fighting, and we at least they came out of their holes. Now we see it happening. As long as Americans were on the ground, we couldn't see it because they were hiding. Now they're all out there, and America will come back with France, with other people, other countries. They come and they will finish with this job this time. So
unfortunately, we got two things that are going on, Orly, that are really disconcerting, and one is our borders. A nation without borders is no nation. Again, that's one of the things that Obama continues to promote, to the disadvantage of our being able to protect ourselves. And
it's a democratic policy. It's democratic policy. We understand, there are differences between the Republican and Democrats, but on the war, on the global scale, we are all united. We're united on the Western civilization, where we want to protect our children, and we don't want any scare that, many years ago, David used to say, we had to prevent them from coming and making sure that the children are wearing, those Arab covers of the burqas, how they call it. And I was saying, what they're saying, but sure enough, it's there. They're forcing, they are really hostile to Christian. They're killing a lot of Christians. And a lot of women are in danger all over. So we, in the sake of them, and the sake of the world, we need to stand up constantly and remind them, everybody, that we're all together. America needs to unite. It doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. This is the time to win it for good, because it's the future. This is the future we're talking about that is in stake now. This is not one election only. Next election is going to be soon. In November you can have to vote for Congress, and I hope you're going to get great representatives, because they deserve, America deserves good leadership. We need good leadership for the world, and after that we'll start seeing what's the future will be in play. Anyway, Cynthia, we're running out of time. I really love having you here. Thank you so much for coming on my show. I love you so much. You are wonderful. God bless you. God bless America.
God bless you.
Take care of yourself and
God
a lot
bless
of
Israel.
Love. So that, thank you, and blessing for South Carolina as always.
Thank you. Our prayers are with you.
Amen, amen, amen. And let's go to a break. And we are back. Today we found ourselves because we need to talk about the situation. It's not always that, you know, you bring the policymakers and you ask them the right question or you talk about the right subject. It's about us. It's all about the people. It's enough with, leadership cannot lead if the people are not united with what they want. People are having multiple ideas of how to solve the world, of course, but we need to unite the people first. We need to unite the women and protect the children, because there is one task that all women have, with the men in our life, to protect the children. Children are the source of the future. They are the beauty and the encompassing of everything we work so hard to. If we neglect that, we neglect ourselves. Our record is not going to be as right as we had worked so hard to. I really hope that you had a wonderful time tonight, because it's important to me. Yeah, you can write us at TBBS Radio. Doug will be, as always, an angel, and forward it to us or directly to my email. I want to have your feedback. I want you to be a part of this movement of building the world back, putting it back in peaceful mode and starting to come along and work together no matter what. We're all in the same boat. There is nobody escape this one. This is all over the globe, and we are going to win it if we are united, if we put our mind to it. Remember, this is unity against whatever wants to destroy us. So it's easy. It's easy to decide. And I really bless you all. I love you all. I thank you for the time that you took to listen, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless you, and see you next Monday. God bless America, and God bless and save Israel. And I won't never forget Jerusalem. God bless you. Bye-bye.